In 1 John chapter 3, the scripture says in verse number 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law." And of course, we know and believe and understand that, and it's implied, it's the law of God. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 23, last verse of this chapter, the scripture says here, "For the wages of sin is death." That's the payday of sin. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I ask you to go ahead now, if you would, in your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to preach a message this morning with the Lord's help and blessing. And the title of the message is, "Sin is Really That Bad and Wicked Before God." Sin is really that bad and wicked before God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in prayer at this time, and we thank you, Father, that we can come and you bid us come. And we pray, Father, that you would help us right now. Help us with your word. Help us, Father, with the message that you have at hand. Father, speak to all of us. Father, you've chosen me to be your mouthpiece, and I pray, Father, that you would just take me out of the way and just speak to all of us, even to me, this day. And Lord, that we would not ball up against you in your word, but we'd hear you and believe you and trust in what you say, knowing that it is the truth. Father, help us that in your word we to take your word and apply it to our lives. Father, we bring it near unto us. And Lord, as the scripture says, that we would draw nigh to you and that you would draw nigh to us. Help us, Father, that each and every one would understand that the message at hand, Father, it's not a message that's aiming for toes, but it's a message that's aiming for hearts. And we pray, Father, that you just might speak to us and help us. Thank you for your blessings. And thank you for saving us. And we pray, Father, for those that are here not saved, Father, that they would see the necessity of this message and the words of this scripture. And Lord, that we would truly understand that sin is that bad and it is wicked before you. Help now, we pray and bless. Your hand upon us in every way. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. You know, I pray, and I know you pray for me about what to preach, and I'm glad you do. I need it, and I pray that the Lord will help me. And sometimes when I get what the message is, I say, "Really? Is that what you want me to preach, Lord?" And it is that way. It's that way. And it was that way with this message. We've got a time of revival services coming up. And we desire the Lord's working in our midst. And we've been blessed of the Lord and helped by the Lord and rejoice in the fellowship we have with the Lord and with one another. And so it would seem maybe from the human standpoint that this wouldn't be necessarily a good message to preach right now, but I trust that this is the Lord's hand upon us and what we need right now. Sin really is that bad. Sin is a transgression of the law of God. And we're sinners. And we who are saved here, we're saved sinners. We still have a problem with sin. We've got a lot of help in the Lord, though. I praise the Lord for it. You that are here without the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you've got a problem with sin, and that's the problem you have. It's the greatest problem you have. And you have nothing in and of yourself in any way to be able to deal with sin. Oh, yeah, you can listen to what the Word of God says and live more morally. And it's to your advantage to do so. You bring less condemnation upon yourself. But you've got a problem with all that sin that you've committed and do commit, and you've got not a thing you can do with it. You need Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful that we have the gospel and the truth of God's word that helps us all. Amen. We who are saved, the Lord helps us with sin. And to know, we know what to do when we sin against the Lord. And for those that are not saved, praise God, the word of God is clear that you need the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. This account here in 1 Samuel 15, years ago, the Lord really helped me and worked me over with it. And it's here, and it's here for a reason and a blessing. And it goes like this, in chapter 15 of 1 Samuel, verse number 1, Samuel also said unto Saul, he's the first king of Israel, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over the people, over Israel. So that's what's been done. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. And that's always the issue, is listening to what God says. What's God say? Because remember, sin is the transgression of what God says. The law is just another way for wording the word of the Lord. He says, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel, over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken unto the voice of the words of the Lord. This is what you're to do, Saul. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Quickly over here in Deuteronomy chapter 25, let's take a look at what Moses reminds the children of Israel about that occasion, just so we have this. And it's just a couple verses in Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse number 17. Remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way when ye were come forth out of Egypt. Moses says unto the children of Israel, how he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God in doing so. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. Thou shalt not forget it. Don't remember what Amalek did. Don't forget what Amalek did. How he, according to what the Lord says there, and how we might say it in today's vernacular, he took a cheap shot at you. Rather than facing you up front, he came at the tail end of you. And he wasn't merciful, but he smote on the feeble first. And that was that great battle where Moses was there on the hilltop, and as he held up his hands, the children of Israel and the armies of Israel prevailed against Amalek. But when his arms went down, then they were defeated. And Aaron and Hur sat him on a stone, and both of them held up his arms till the going down of the sun. They didn't let his arms go down. Can you imagine what his arms felt like? He was tired, and probably by the end of that day, he couldn't even feel his arms. But that's what the Lord chose to do. And the Lord chose to work. And so now they've got peace, and the Lord has granted victory over the Philistines and such. And now the Lord says, go and destroy them. Verse number 3 of 1 Samuel 15. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. All that they have, all that they utterly have. Destroy, utterly destroy all that they have. Spare them not. But slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. I'll be honest with you. In days gone by, I had trouble with that. I had problems with that being declared. It's that way. It's the way we are, humanity, mankind. But I accepted it, that it's God that's working. And that's what we need to receive, is that God is over all. We are his creation, and he does what he wants to with us. It seems awful cruel. I've even had some say, well, it's just cruel. I just can't accept that. Well, we need to receive it, because we need to understand this, that we are the Lord's. And the nations of the earth are the Lord's. And the thing is that one of the things that helped me with this is, just as the Lord judges people, he judges nations. And he used the nation of Israel to judge this nation. Why? Because of their wickedness and their sin. They were Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land, and they were wicked. The Lord's going to say this. And for them to be totally destroyed, the Lord knew that it needed to be that they not be a snare unto his people, that they needed to be utterly destroyed. Even the infants and the sucklings. Well, I want you to understand something, brothers and sisters. The Lord in recent years has helped me out with this. You know what happened with those infants and sucklings when they were there amongst that wicked nation and people? They were abused. They were sacrificed. They were no doubt prostituted. I don't want to be too graphic, but they were sodomized because these inhabitants of the land were wicked, wicked, wicked against God. They were used in pagan worship. They were made slaves. They were abused. And God knew that, and he was sick of their wickedness. And he used a nation to judge a nation because it was time for Amalek to be dealt with. And that's God's call. And you know what the Lord did when Israel was used of God to judge and to kill all those? He took all those that were mentally and spiritually not able to be accountable before God, and they're in glory now. Even in God's judgment, there was mercy. Now, these are matters of nations and matters of government. We need to understand that. You and I, in and of ourselves, individually, as a family, as a church, we have no position to pursue anything like this. But when God tells a leader of a nation and a nation to do it, that's the work of God. And he does. And so we need to reckon that right. So yes, they were told everything was to be destroyed because their remembrance was to be removed because why? They were so wicked. There's another aspect of this is that what you and I do will fall down on our children. And what they did fell down on their children. Yeah, our wickedness, our sin, our bad decisions. We'll go ahead and hedge sometimes. We will. Our mistakes. We've all made mistakes. Yeah, we've made errors, but then we've sinned against God, and it comes down on our children. It comes down on our grandchildren. Might even go to the fourth generation from us, because that's what happens. That's how bad sin is. Adam ate of the fruit of a tree that was not poison, and the tree in and of itself was not bad, probably tasted very, very good, and if that fruit on that tree would have been allowed to continue, whatever it was, no matter what it was, it would probably be good yet unto this day. But God said, don't eat it. And that made us all sinners. Sin's bad. Disobeying God is bad. Is that bad and wicked before him? It goes on to say here in verse 4, and Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, 10,000 men of Judah. Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. Verse 6, and Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For he showed kindness to all the children of Israel. For ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And that was merciful. I think that was the right thing to do. The order and directive was against the Amalekites. And the Kenites had been merciful to Israel. But the Amalekites had not been. And God remembered what they did. And it was time. They were done. They were done. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. So there's one person living. Yeah, he destroyed everybody. No doubt thousands, 10,000s of people that were destroyed. However many there were, we don't know how many. But there's one man left alive. Is that what God said? Because see, it all comes back down to what God said. It all, in our day, right here before us, with us, it comes down to what God says. One man alive. Well, it's just one. He's one. And the Lord gave a directive about what to be done. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and of the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly. So now we see here that they judge some things to be good. But there's some good cattle. But there's some good sheep. But there's some good this and some good that. And what did God say? He said, destroy it all. So now they've got one soul that's alive and shouldn't have been alive. And now there's cattle that is alive but shouldn't have been left alive. And what did God say? God said what he said. He said, destroy it all. Brother Doug mentioned about those chariots that were given to the worship of the sun. You know, we have this word today. I just found out about it recently. You get this thing of repurpose, a new terminology, repurpose of things. Rather than Josiah repurposing those chariots, he destroyed them because that sin and that wickedness, that thing that Solomon had allowed and built up, it needed to be gone. Couldn't they have used that? Couldn't they have used that impact, that financial impact, the cost of that stuff, and the benefit of those chariots for the army and all that? Remember, God says sin and wickedness is evil and bad and against Him. And if He calls on us to destroy thousands of chariots, if we need them, He can give them to us. We got to remember that. When the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith on the earth that what he says is true? Because it all boils down back. It all comes down. It all boils down to what God says. So they made a decision about what was good. Good in their eyes. But you know what? It was vile and refuse in the eyes of the Lord. Because what God said. I remember what Amalek did. And I want you to utterly destroy them. Samuel came and said, I've anointed thee to be king over Israel. Hearken to the voice of the words of the Lord, verse number one. Listen to what God says. Samuel didn't say, listen to what I say. Listen to what God says. Verse 10. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he's turned back from following me. For a while he did follow him. But he backslid, didn't he? He went the other way. He didn't listen to what God said in its entirety. He didn't follow the word of the Lord. He didn't follow the law of the Lord. God said, destroy the Amalek. He's turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. Hear that? And it wasn't the Ten Commandments. It was what God told him right there. And yeah, you could take some of the Ten Commandments and bring them in there indeed, but God told him what to do. And he didn't do it. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. I tell you what, Samuel had a desire for that which was right, but he grieved over the sin of the people. He even grieved over the sin of his king. He cried unto the Lord all night. Why did he cry? Because he knew the Lord would have him to come and deal with it. It's not good to deal with. It's not pleasant to deal with things that are ugly. But they got to be dealt with. It's not pleasant to face up against that which is wicked and sinful and deal with it. Did he cry for himself? Did he cry for his king? Did he cry for the nation of Israel? Because he knew that this would bring trouble upon him. Sin. The Lord's pointed it out and said there's sin in the camp. That's the sin of the leader. And it grieved Samuel. Verse 12, and when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place. And is gone about and passed on and come down to Gilgal. So it was told where Saul was. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Self-deception. I'm doing all right. You know, it doesn't matter a lick what you tell me how good you're doing. You know, I'm not Samuel. I'm not the prophet of the Lord, but I'm the pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church, has been called to be here, your pastor. But you know, how good you make yourself look before me doesn't make one whit. Where do you stand before the Lord? I performed the oath of the Lord. Well, Agag's still living, isn't he? Aren't the sheep and the oxen and the cattle and all that there? And Samuel's going to refer to that. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Well, I'm obeying in this and this and this and this, but well, let's not talk about that. Sin's that bad, and it's that wicked before God, because God said it. Self-deception. He was looking to talk himself into it. Or his ears were dull of hearing everything that was said, and he went into whatever makes sense mode rather than hanging on to what the Lord said. And Samuel said, verse 14, What meanest then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears? God's command to you equals no noise or sound from anything that was Amalek. I hear bleating of sheep. I hear the bellowing of the cattle. Why is this the case? What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them. Oh, just like our daddy did, Adam. Adam, when he's confronted by the Lord, starts blaming his wife. And just like what we'll do, we'll make excuse for our sin. But still our sin. It's still our wickedness. And Samuel said, What meaneth this? And in verse 15, Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Well, that's telling, isn't it? And the rest we have utterly destroyed. We've destroyed all the rest, but the people have taken this stuff. What can I do? He's the leader. He likes being king when it's comfy. When it's time to take the heat, it's heat transfer. Right? He didn't want to take it. He said the people took these. The best. Well, doesn't that make sense? The best. God said it was all vile. To sacrifice to the Lord thy God. You know, Saul didn't have much of a relationship with his Lord. I believe he's saved. And if you think something else, that's fine. He sure didn't look saved. And that's always the reference, thy God, thy God, thy God, Samuel. Do you believe in the God of Olmsted Baptist Church, or do you believe in your God? I know of those. I've had those in my family that say, well, down there at the church, down there at so-and-so Baptist Church, they believe this. So were you a member? Well, down there. They didn't say they believed it. They said the pastor believed it or the church down there believed it. A disassociation, being a member of that church, but a disassociation from what they held to and believed is they believe that down there. Where are you a member? Well, down there. Wait a minute. Isn't it God that has saved us and added us to the church? That's what Scripture makes plain. Disassociation, self-deception. Then Samuel, verse 16, said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on, tell it. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? See, when you were humble, the Lord raised you up. But now you've got raised up in your heart and mind, and you think you can call the shots. Well, I'm saved, therefore I can dabble with this. I'm redeemed, I'm eternally secure in Christ. The sovereign grace of God has been bestowed upon me. Therefore, I can presume upon God. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, gave you a commandment, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them till they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? You know what? Saul may have not known, because remember, Saul's time is after the time of the judges, which nominally lasted 400 years, and my memory serving me right. He might have not known. He may have not been there that day when that was read out of the law of the Lord and out of Deuteronomy what the Amalekites did. He may have not have known it. But it doesn't matter if he knows the detail or not. God told him to destroy them. Keep on them and stay on them till they be utterly consumed, gone away, stamped in powder. Done. Because the Lord said about the inhabitants of the land that they would be thorns in your sides, or they would be thorns in your sides and pricks in your eyes. They'll be to the detriment of the people, to the nation. And also in this, Saul may have not have known about the Amalekites, but however, the Lord told him what to do, and that should have been conclusive enough, what God said. Also, he said, wherefore, verse 19, didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord, became covetous about what they had in the spoil. And God said to destroy it. Could not have God given them 10 times that if they'd have just been obedient? And the Lord picked the times when they could. It was that way in Israel, and that way when the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, the Lord chose the times of when they were to take a spoil and not. Because the Lord can provide for us whenever and however He wants to. He could do so for them. And Saul said unto Samuel, verse 20, yea, I've obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Self-deception again. I've done what God said. I've done what God said. And it's coming out of his own mouth. He's condemned by his own words, and that he brought Agag. And sad to say, it almost seems as if he doesn't even realize it. I may look angry, but my heart's broken. He believes he's done right. Or at least he's trying to convince himself of such. My mother told me when I was little and I would took to lying. She said, Jimmy, don't lie to yourself. The word's out, you know my name's Jimmy. So don't lie to yourself. You know, I remember that still today, going to be 49 years old. Don't lie to yourself. But I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to the Lord. Don't lie to me, your mother. Saul's lying to himself, isn't he? Verse 21, but the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. There it is again. The people. The people did it. After all, I'm just the king. The people took it. I'm just one man. What could I do? The people did it. To do a good thing. You know what? We can take good things, good works, at the wrong time or the wrong place or in the stead of the right thing for the right time and sin against God. You realize that? So while I'm doing this, but not if you're supposed to be doing something else. And just generally speak. people. The things which should have been utterly destroyed. He understood it, didn't he? But rather coveted after their stuff and was willing to be persuaded by the people and rather than remind them what the Lord had said. And Samuel said, these are the key verses. Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices? The Lord ordered a bunch of them, didn't he? And they had that law, the ceremonial sacrificial law that the Lord gave Moses. He ordered a bunch of that. It took the Levites a lot of work to keep all that straight and that timing right. It became a weariness to them, I believe, even during the times of the judges. Brothers teaching about how they found it, the law and the word of the Lord, and how they realized they hadn't been doing what they're supposed to be doing from hundreds of years before. God meant it when he told them to do it. But they became weary. The Levites became weary in it, it seems like. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices compared to his obeying the voice of the Lord? Listen, again, it comes right down, comes right back down, boils down to what God says. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Well, I'm going to obey in this, this, and this, but I'm not going here. And I'll just offer a little sacrifice to make up for it. It's no good. Rebellion. Rebellion. He says as much. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. The fat of rams is that a reference to that very special and generous sacrifice, if I understand that right. And it's better to hearken, to hear what the word of the Lord says, and to believe the Lord. Unto obedience than to offer that very, very special sacrifice. God has elevated, he's promoted his word above all his name. He expects mankind, especially we of his children, to hear him. What's he say here? For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God's given a directive. And to buck against what he says in his word is like witchcraft, divination, a word from another. That's what that word witchcraft is talking about in the Hebrew. That we're not going to listen to what God says, but we're going to listen to the word of another, maybe self. Our word, or the word in Saul's case of the word of the people. Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. Isn't that strong? For rebellion, God said what he once done, and we turn from it. You know what the word rebellion speaks of? Speaks of bitterness. And doing what the Lord said to do, I'm not saying that would have been an easy thing. But God said it needed to be done. And they were embittered by it and said, no, we're going to do it our way. God's word is given, and we say, no, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm not following that. And you know what? What it does yield is bitterness. Because sin is that bad and wicked before the Lord. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, divination, or an oracle from another. And stubbornness, the making rigid of our necks and our back. Stubbornness, being dull of hearing, stunned by the sin that's in our lives and the way of the world, is as iniquity and idolatry. Iniquity is speaking of vanity. The vanity of an idol, the wickedness of an idol, and then he plainly says it in idolatry. Idolatry is just taking anything or anyone and putting it between us and the Lord. any way, anything, anyone putting it between us and the Lord. No, I'm going to do what this one's done. I'm not going to do what the Lord says to do. I'm going to honor what this way is. I'm not going to honor what the Lord says done. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat, and to hearken than the fat of rams. To hearken, to hear and obey the Lord. It's got that hearing and doing within it together, the word hearken does. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and that's what he's done. He hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned. It sounds good. But you know what's happened here is he's remorseful. He's sorry he's got caught. I think we have that indicated here. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. So he does have a sense of honesty about him, in that he confessed that he feared the people. But we need to fear the Lord and reverence the Lord more. And I realize that's easy said. I realize that. Don't think me a fool. I realize that's easy said. But may God help us to get a hold of the fact that what God says is true, and we need to reverence, we need to fear him more than any other. Well, we need to desire him rather than desire self and what will make us feel good and what we can enjoy. Sin's that bad and wicked before God. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord. He repents to Samuel. See, his relationship with the Lord shallow, isn't it? How's your relationship with the Lord? Is yours a Sunday and Wednesday maybe kind of relationship with the Lord? Is the Lord like Santa Claus? Just there to give you what you need, but nothing else to be done to him? How is the Lord with you? How are you with the Lord? How are we with our Lord? Is he just there to bail us out of trouble? Indeed, he bids us come when we have trouble. He can work. But is that all? Is that all? I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, verse 25, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. It all comes back to what God says. Knowing what God says. Ignorance is not bliss. And just because we're ignorant doesn't mean we're off the hook. Because we're accountable. We're accountable. I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. Saul grabbed a hold of the mantle of Samuel as he was going to leave, and he tore that. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and hath given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. David's not even born. That's how great a God we're dealing with here, or that's dealing with us. May we not play games with the Lord. The Lord already knows David and what he's going to do, and David isn't even born yet. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent. He won't do like you've done, Saul. Lying about what the Lord gave you to do or backing up on it, for he is not a man that he should repent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. I pray thee before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me that I may worship the Lord thy God. He has hardly any relationship with the Lord. Now he's going to damage control. damage control. Don't make me look bad in front of the people. I've messed up before God, but don't make me look bad before the people. See, repentance will make us look bad before the people. But you know what? Repentance is always a good thing. It's the flesh that thinks that repentance bad. Because the Lord honors repentance, and the people of God honor repentance if their hearts are right with the Lord. So Samuel turned again after Saul, verse 31, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then said Samuel, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately unto Samuel. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. He says, oh, this is not good to be in front of this man. See, Saul didn't have the wherewithal and did not pursue the wherewithal to say, I've sinned against God, bring Agag and let's get this done. But rather he waited and fiddled and delayed and muddled around waiting on the man of God to finish the business. Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless. There's not supposed to be mercy for the murderer. So shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. And that's what the Word of God says. And again, this is the working of the Lord amongst nations. And the world today doesn't want to see a God that is this way, where he would have his prophet cut up in pieces, the king of another nation. But that's how bad sin is and how wicked it is before God. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house to Gibeah of Saul. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul. He was compassionate towards him, wasn't he? You know, when we sin, we don't need to be any party to sin, indeed. But we do need to be merciful and help however we can. You know, there's a fine line there. Fine line there. We don't need to support anybody in their sin, but our brothers and sisters in Christ, we certainly need to be supportive of them in a right relationship and walk before the Lord. Samuel loved Saul, and he was mournful over Saul's sin against God. He was. He wept over his sin. And Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord repented that he had made Saul king over Israel. How about our sin? It gets right down here to us. Yeah, you. Don't worry about anybody else. But what about your sin? Sin in the heart. You know what? And each one of us, we're gonna break up from this service, and we're all gonna go our way. But you are not accountable to me from the eternal standpoint at all. But I tell you what, we don't get away from God. How are you before the Lord? Fellowshipping with Him, worshiping Him personally. How are you and praying to the Lord and talking to the Lord? And how are you and I taking a look in the Lord's Word and hearing Him and believing Him in what He says? How are you and I and looking to be holy? And we're afraid of that word holiness, and we're afraid of that word righteousness, but we've been called to be holy and righteous, not adopt this way of the world. How are we in our families? Brethren, how are we to our wives? Wives, how are you to your husbands? How are we together to our children? who instruct them in the way of the Lord and what the Lord says and put the priorities in the right place? Or do we send them mixed signals and say one thing and do another? How are we with our bodies and partaking of this world and filling up with the junk of this world rather than listen to what the Lord says and to not love the world and to use it right and well, but don't be party to those things that war against the Spirit? We can grieve the Spirit, can't we? That means make Him sad. That's what that means. We can, as a people and as a church, we can quench the Spirit. That means to put Him out, a bucket of water on the Spirit. Oh, He's not subject to us by no means, but the Lord is working in us, and He's told us and given us that we are to submit to Him and desire the work of the Spirit. But when we ball up our backs and our necks and say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do, and this one I'm keeping for me, sin. How is it that we do with our conversation, our mouth? How is it that we do with our thoughts? And I understand thoughts can come into our hearts and minds that we just hate and don't want. But you know what? We can take sin and we can meddle with it in our hearts and minds. And that we've got control over. How are we with these bodies? In faithfulness to our spouses. In body. In mind. How are we in this calling of the Lord and the salvation of our souls and being a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ? I'll leave the invite into the revival to somebody else. I'll leave that to Brother Jim. I don't know who you've invited or not. Again, you're not accountable to me. You're accountable before the Lord. I'll leave the witnessing and the visiting to Brother Jim. After all, that's what we hire him for. We pay him for that. No, you've got a part of that that you're responsible for too. How is it that we're in our homes and our families? You know, one of the great, I see it, the greatest weaknesses we have is with our children. Man, we can stand against the world and we can stand against for what's right and all that, but when it comes down to our children, our young children, it can become so difficult and so wearisome to teach them and instruct them. And remember, as we deal with our young children, we're dealing with attitude. The Lord gave Saul something to do. And the issue wasn't what to do. It was that Saul went another way. See, understand that. We can take things and dealing with our children, and that it says, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices and obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. It's not whether they break out the $1,000 glass or stomp on the little 5-cent toy. The issue is the disobedience and the attitude and the working in the heart. That's what's at hand. That's what's being dealt with. It's not that they're in more trouble when they destroy more and less trouble when they destroy less, as an example. It's that they have willfully gone against what we as parents have said. That's the issue. That's the issue before us and God. This was the directive that God gave Saul to do this. But for rebellion, going against what has been directed, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Again, I mentioned about sending mixed signals to our children. We can do it, man, we can do it and not even know it. Say one thing, do another, and they're going to follow after what we do. How is it with our faithfulness in the church and finding the place that we can minister in the church and serve the Lord in the church? Witnessing, fellowshipping with the Lord, our conversation in this world, having responsibility as parents, having a responsibility of our home and then allowing those children in our house, in our home, pursue wickedness and not say boo about it, not control the situation. May God help us. May the Lord help us. You know, but the Lord doesn't leave us here, does he? In Proverbs chapter 28, and we'll close. Proverbs chapter 28. This stands here, and I praise the Lord for it. At any time, we can go back, unbackslide, pursue and follow the Lord and be obedient to him. He that covereth his sins, Proverbs 28, 13, shall not prosper. That's what Saul was doing. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Repentance. You that are here and not saved, you need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit covering up your sin. Quit making an excuse. Quit finding an alternate thing. Quit trying to justify yourself before God. And we who are saved in 2 Chronicles 7, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, said, I'll forgive them their sins. Seek my face. It also says that. I'll forgive them of their sins, and I'll heal their land. I'll forgive them. And then we have what John, Brother John, wrote in 1 John chapter 1. In verse number 6, if, it says, we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, sin, we are liars and do not the truth. Do you know there's something in your life that you don't need to be doing? Something that you're condoning in your family? Something you're not doing in the church? Somebody you're not witnessing to? You got sin in your life? And just harboring it, make it go away, make excuse for it, say, I can't do this, can't do that, can't do the other. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. I'm sorry, verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know what? Let's read this again. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Tell you what, I'm concerned about a child of God that doesn't want to have fellowship with his brothers and sisters in Christ. He, she, they. It's no good. Is sin at the door? Is sin at the door? We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, just like Saul was doing. He was deceiving himself. What a self-deception. I fulfilled the commandment of the Lord. I've done what the Lord said to do, till he was pressed by the prophet. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But listen to this. As the children of God, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive us. No matter how far deep we get and how backslidden we may be, he will forgive us. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You've heard me say a spiritual life that begins by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior is the beginning of a life of repentance and faith before the Lord. Why? Because we've been left in this shape, new man and old man. No justification. We do need to realize what's at hand, and we need to mortify this old man. But we do sin. And may we confess it before our God. May the Lord help us and bless us that we would even say, as David did, purge me with hyssop. Show me my sin. Show me my sin before you, Lord, and make me white and clean. Wash me. Cleanse me. It's interesting that the scripture talks about us being washed by the water of the Word. The Word of God is what shows us. Shows us our lack, shows us our fault, shows us our error, and shows us how to get right with the Lord. May the Lord help and bless His Word. Sin is that bad and wicked before God.